The Oldie Lunch Recordings presents Camille and the Lost Diaries of Samuel Pepys by Bob Marshall Andrews. Brought to you by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
Our next speaker writes of diaries, but are they real? As sure as Cryer is my name. Is the story they tell true? Who cares? There's enjoyment here for you. You'll read it and believe it every word, not the first nor second, but third installment of the saga of Samuel Pepys and the beautiful Camille. But before you, my audience, sleeps, I introduce the author who's sitting next to me, the three and only Bob Marshall Andrews.
Thank you, Barry. It's always a great joy to sit next to you, to sit next to Barry Cryer, if you like parrots, or even if you don't like parrots. I'm sure he will tell you the Jewish parrot joke before the end of lunch, and possibly even the gay parrot joke as well. All I can say is that Samuel Pepys would have enjoyed all of them if he had been here, in this wonderful evening. Camille, can you hear me without this? Yes? No? No. Camille. Yes. Camille? Camille and the Lost Diaries of Samuel Pepys is a memoir découvert, or discovered, as the French say, by me. When I was in the Bodleian Library doing some harmless research. And it addresses and indeed solves two problems which have beset and irritated historians and scholars of the Restoration for centuries. The first is what happened to Samuel Pepys? What happened when he stopped writing his great diary on the 31st of May, 1669. Well, we all know what happened to him. Later, he became a Member of Parliament. Nothing wrong with that. And ended up at the Tower. Well, that's the kind of thing that happens. And was plotted against sort of Boris Johnson of his day. And was plotted against and finally had a distinguished career as a diplomat. What happened to him then? But what happened, historians have always argued about what happened after the diaries, what happened 1669, 1670, 71, 72, silence. And one can't find it. Anyway, I've looked and looked and looked for this. So what happened? Why did he stop writing the diaries? He tells us because he was going blind. He wasn't going blind. He was certainly a bit myopic, but there was no reason why he should not have had an amanuensis, a scribe, to whom he should have dictated the diaries, particularly as his wife was dead. And there was no need for him to employ the elaborate codes that he used in the diary to disguise the sexual predations and proclivities and the nookie, as it was known in those days, to which he was unfortunately heir. So that's the first mystery which this addresses. The second is who negotiated the secret treaty of Dover. The secret treaty between Charles II and Louis XIV of France, when he wasn't in Versailles taking part in easily the worst television series that has been produced. Who negotiated that secret treaty? The treaty whereby Louis provided vast sums of money for Charles to dispense with Parliament altogether. Not a bad thing, I hear you say, and for which Charles, in return, agreed to toleration of the Catholics and to provide the British Navy to make war on the Dutch. Who negotiated that treaty? Now, these two great mysteries are solved at a stroke in this memoir, Découvert, which has been lying in the Bodleian Library for 400 years until I discovered it in 2010 in French which is why it's taken so long to publish it, among other things. And now, here it is. Now, what is it? What is it? It is the memoir of Camille Lefebvre, the beautiful, the eponymous, the highly talented actress from France, fugitive from the French stage of Molière and Racine, pursued by the most powerful family in France, intent on revenge for the death of one of their kindred. So she came to London. She meets Pepys in the carriage to London from Chatham. And they're attracted. Well, he's attracted. And so she becomes, for two wonderful weeks, she becomes his amanuensis, his scribe. For these, and that is the first part of the book, and the dictated diary entries form a part of the narrative. And together, they go to France. Pym, at Charles's bidding to negotiate the treaty, and who better than a man who knew more about the British Navy than anybody else, to go there, talk to the French about ships, which they didn't know much about at the time. And she, in order to seek revenge for the death of her own brother. And so they traveled together, pursued by the agents of Parliament, led by the dastardly Colonel Scott, and those of you who know your Pepys knows that he reappears in Pepys's life, giving perjured evidence against him 15 years later. But they're pursued by these agents, and how it all ends, and of course they become very close. They become very close in the course of those 14 days. How close? You'll have to buy the book to find out that and other things. Now, I am well aware of the fact that there will be nitpicking, querulous academics and scholars who will suggest that this is a fiction, that this is a work of imagination. But I would say to those querulati, to those sniffers after very similitude, I would say to them, read the final chapters. Well, read all the book, but read the final chapters where Camille is engrossed inevitably in the inevitable duel that she fights in the chapter, well, it's three chapters from the end, at the end, and two elderly men come forward to act as her seconds. And to those who know their Dumas, they are probably, indeed, almost certainly, the last two surviving musketeers who were there at the time. So you can see it is undoubtedly not a work of fiction, but it's a work of pure scholarship. And I commend it to you, and I hope that you will enjoy it. As a topical postscript, at the end, of course, it is history that Charles did indeed commit. It's not in the book, but it's history. He did indeed commit the British Navy to war on the Dutch. It was a disaster. Not, of course, there are British military disasters, we don't know much about them, do we? But it was two terrible naval battles in which they destroyed half of the British Navy. It was destroyed by Admiral de Ruyter. So you had a secret treaty entered into by the English king, secret with another power, in order to commit British armed forces into the front with the disaster. and you can bet you that if it happened now, If it happened now, there would be the most far-reaching public inquiry. Pepys would give evidence. Charles would give evidence and say he only did what he thought was right at the time. And the public inquiry would have been heard in 1671, 72, 73, 74, 75. And I suspect we would still be waiting for the official result. So there's the topicality tomorrow. Thank you very much indeed for inviting me. Thank you, Barry. It's been a wonderful, wonderful lunch. I hope you enjoy the book as much as I enjoy writing. Thank you.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for the Oldie magazine. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.